Welcome to the B2B Manufacturing Marketing Executive Podcast. If you want to learn how leading B2B marketers are achieving excellent growth results, you're in the right place. This episode is brought to you by RH Blake, a leading B2B and manufacturing-focused marketing agency. To learn more, visit rhblake.com. Now, here is your host, Dan Konstantinovsky.
Wanted to welcome everybody to today's podcast. Today's guest is Ruth Stevens. A quick overview about Ruth. She is a consultant on customer acquisition and retention. She's been named one of the 100 most influential people in business marketing by Cranes, a B2B magazine, and one of 20 women to watch by the Sales Lead Management Association. She's a guest blogger at Biznology, AdAge, HBR.org. And she's had several books published, with her most recent being B2B Data-Driven Marketing, Sources, Uses, and Results. So wanted to welcome Ruth, and thank you very much for joining us, Ruth.
Great. Thank you, Dan. Delighted.
So obviously very, very impressive background. Maybe if you could just give the audience an overview of what got you, how did you get into marketing? You know, what got you interested in this field?
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually got into it through just natural instincts. I was working in a publishing company in Tokyo and editing books and acquiring manuscripts, and I really enjoyed that. But I couldn't stop thinking about how best to take my books to market or to find their audiences. So when I returned from Japan and went to Columbia Business School, I had two job offers after graduating from Columbia. One was both in the book business, because I was really interested in it. One was a marketing job at Book of the Month Club, a division of Time Warner. And the other was a finance job at John Wiley in their international division. And both of these were really interesting jobs for me. But somebody wisely advised me that in choosing between the two, I should pick the job that was in the line versus the staff. You're familiar with that military distinction?
Yes.
The line being where revenue and profit comes from, either from products or customers, and the staff being all the support functions like HR and, you know, finance and so forth. So I went for the line job, and I just loved it from the first day, and I've been in direct marketing and data-driven marketing ever since. So thank you for having me.
Interesting backstory. I'm always curious about how folks get into marketing. Since you started, marketing is changing maybe quicker than ever. There was a recent Adobe study of marketers, and 76%, and I was just floored by this number, think that marketing has changed more in the past 2 years than in the previous 50, which, you know, it really raised my eyebrows. So wanted to get your take on, you know, do you agree with this general sentiment? Is marketing changing really that rapidly? And maybe where do you see this heading? Can it keep up in this pace?
Yeah. Well, that last question, I don't know. The question about whether it's changed more in the past 2 years than the previous 50, I do have an opinion, which is that it's really the last 10 or 15 years versus the last two, at least when we talk about B2B marketing, which is where you and I both focus. To me, the arrival of the internet and the wide acceptance and availability of the internet as a communications and commerce tool changed everything about business buying behavior. And we marketers are just scratching the surface in how to leverage that tool to make it easier for us to find prospects and for business buyers to solve their problems by coming and finding our solutions. So that's how the context that I put the change in. Now, the question of how the pace of change and whether we can keep up, I think the answer is, of course, we can keep up. That's what we do. But it means that marketers need to be flexible, to be curious, to always be keeping their ear to the ground about what their peers are doing and finding to be successful in adapting and adopting new techniques. So that's our challenge. We certainly can't rest on our laurels or apply the tactical activities that we used 20 years ago in today's market, certainly. Especially on the consumer side, you might say, as TV advertising has been threatened almost to the death by digital channels, that is certainly a lesson to us in B2B.
So following that your train of thought there, so if you were, you know, if a new marketing graduate came to you and said, hey, I've got this, you know, new marketing job, B2B space, what can you give me some advice? What are maybe the first couple of things that you would recommend that this person do maybe or focus on, you know, in their first 90 days or so on the job?
That's a great question. The focus would definitely be on digital channels. But we also have to sit back a bit or walk back a bit and make sure that we've done the research needed to understand the need in the marketplace and how we can basically kill our competitors, you know, win the battle against our competitors. So that means market research or, if not, you know, formal research projects, at least developing a rich understanding of the needs of various market segments and developing a value proposition to present to the market, to explain to them why they should be buying from us instead of the bad guys down the street. So that's sort of marketing 101 that is never going to go away, irrespective of whatever tools are coming down the pike. So the first 90 days on any job, I would say you need to go understand your market. And then the second thing I would advise is that you need to understand their buying process. And especially in the world of B2B, the buying process is getting more complicated. There are more people involved. It's slower. And the upside is that we can get richer insights into it than ever before using so-called intent data and other buying signals that we can see online. So there's some really exciting new developments. But it's all driven by our desire to influence the buying process in our favor and these wonderful new tools that are available to us online to help us achieve that objective faster and more cheaply than ever before. So those are the two areas that I would say a new marketer should be focusing on.
Excellent. I want to touch up on the subject that I think is very near and dear to your heart, is direct marketing. So in the B2B space, at least in my experience, now you know the popular term is account-based marketing, but direct marketing, account-based marketing, those have existed, it feels like, for many years. And that's one area that you specialize in. Maybe if you could expand on what are some areas that you see companies struggling with most when it comes to developing an account-based marketing, you know, approach or program? What are some areas that you see companies struggling with most? And maybe if you could touch upon that.
Well, Yeah. Well, I think I either need to get some clarification or challenge you, Dan, a little bit, because I don't see ABM, account-based marketing, and direct marketing as the same thing at all. Let me back up and mention that the way I define direct marketing is a combination of using data for targeting and audience understanding, and then crafting direct response communications to reach out and motivate that target audience to raise their hands and respond to you in some way, whether it's trying to turn them into a sales lead or trying to get them to meet us at our booth at a trade show or come to our webinar or whatever is the response we're looking for. And those tools have been part of the B2B marketing toolkit forever, whether they were called direct marketing or not, or direct response communications or not. But to your question about how they can be used successfully, I'm still amazed at how often I see B2B marketing communications that are not following the fundamental principles of direct response communications, which have been written about and taught in schools, and there's a zillion books on the subject to help people understand the principles, but I'm just amazed that I'm still not seeing them followed correctly. So, for example, you could see a digital banner ad with no offer in it, or with a call to action that's simply buried. You wonder, wait a minute, in digital banner ads, they're certainly going to be counting their responses as their success metric. If they just added an offer, they could triple their response rates. What's going on here? So it still makes me scratch my head. Now, ABM, on the other hand, it too is everything is old as new again in principle, because salespeople have always gone to market at the account level. You know, a salesperson has a territory of accounts that he or she is responsible for. So that's supporting that effort with marketing help is really the nature of ABM. What I think is so exciting about the renewed interest in ABM is that it helps to bridge the yawning gap between sales culture and marketing culture in B2B companies. And when marketing is given the mission of helping sales penetrate and service an account more effectively, then sales and marketing really pull together and are on the same page and going for the same goals in a way that we haven't seen in traditional funnel-oriented lead generation world. So I think it's a brilliant new way to solve that long-time problem of kind of animosity and misunderstanding between sales and marketing.
Well, that's a great point. Never really considered that. That's a really interesting take on that.
Thank you.
And so, you know, we're winding down here with the podcast, but wanted to ask you one last question. Any marketing technology tools that you could recommend that maybe you're using or you've heard of other B2B marketers use that you want to recommend to our audience for them to check out?
Yeah, a couple. I think there's some very exciting new developments relating to LinkedIn. I mean, you could say that LinkedIn itself is an amazing new tool that none of us could have ever foreseen 10 years ago. Boy, it's such an asset for B2B marketers. But around LinkedIn, there are some really nifty tools that have arrived. One of my favorites is called Scout. It's a way to capture a LinkedIn contact information without actually reaching out and making a direct LinkedIn connection with the person. Scout comes from a company in San Antonio called Starista, and it has a number of competitors, so I know this is a pretty popular field, but I really like the idea that we can troll around LinkedIn looking for buyers, and then whether or not we want to speak to them through LinkedIn, with a tool like Scout, we can communicate with them through email or other channels like social media without having that direct connection. So it really gives you a more flexible marketing capability thanks to the self-reported profiles that are available to us on LinkedIn. So it's, to me, you know, there these interesting and inventive tools just keep coming, you know, not every day necessarily, but so frequently that, of course, it's hard to keep up, but my mouth sort of waters also at the power of some of these new tools and excitement that we all have at our ability to try them out.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. So, Ruth, wanted to thank you very much again for your time.
Thank you, Dan. Enjoyed it.
One last point. If anybody in the audience wants to connect with you, could you maybe provide your contact information or a good place for them to reach out to you?
Certainly. Yes, my email is ruth@ruthstevens.com, and my Twitter handle is Ruth P. Stevens. So I welcome contact from any of your listeners, Dan, and sure have enjoyed getting to know you and wish you the very best.
Ruth, thank you so much. Look forward to chatting again with you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the B2B Manufacturing Marketing Executive Podcast. You can find today's show notes at rhblake.com/podcast. That's rhblake.com/podcast. Today's show was sponsored by RH Blake, a leading B2B and manufacturing-focused marketing agency. Learn more at rhblake.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes and subscribe. Please make sure to leave us a review of the show. Until next time.